Tom, we're going to start with you. That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. We're good.
Okay. Welcome to the March 2nd special meeting of the Monclova Township Board of Trustees. It's 4:45. I call the meeting to order. We are going to move right away into executive session to discuss personnel issues. So I make the motion to move to executive session.
Second.
Seconded by Lox. On the motion, Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Ready for me to do it? You guys still? I'm just returning. It is 5:28 and we are returning from executive session and our special meeting. We have no business to discuss. So with that, I would accept a motion to close executive session and adjourn the special meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Welch?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Good evening. Welcome to the March 2nd Monclova Township Board of Trustee meeting. It is 5:30. We are so happy to welcome students from Monclova Primary representing the Student Council. Your willingness to lead and represent others reflects the very spirit of civic service that strengthens a community. And tonight, your presence reminds us that leadership begins with coming together. At this time, I would love for these students to come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And can I call your name? And when I call your name, you want them to stand right here. And can you tell us what grade you're in? We're curious, okay? So, Caleb, will you come forward? Can you tell us what grade you're in?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Sadie?
Fourth grade.
Janie?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Addison? Addison didn't make it. Austin? Harper? Are you going to say fourth grade too? Everybody's fourth grade. Lana? Lana, sorry. Olivia? Fourth grade. Okay, we are going to join you. Would you all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Girls, with the back. All right, students, you have a very difficult choice now. You can stay for the meeting, or you can go with our fire chief and get a tour of the fire station.
Okay, I'm going
in. Do we know what we want to do?
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Fire station.
Chief, raise your hand.
Imagine
just
you
go,
might
just
be all the fire over there waiting for you.
Fire, follow the fire chief, and you guys can all leave from the fire station if you want to. You do not have to come back to this meeting. You're welcome to come back to this
meeting. Thank you.
We so appreciated having you here today.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Thank you. And I really need to spend time thanking Kathleen Coons, who pulled this all off. The Lucas County commissioners do something similar to this, but when I shared the idea with Kathleen, she went gung-ho. It was amazing. Thank you, lady. That takes us immediately to our agenda. We've been called to order. We've had the Pledge of Allegiance. Gavin, can you do the roll call?
Lang.
Here.
Lox.
Here.
Herschel.
Present.
Are there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
Then I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Lox on the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
I'll move to accept the meeting minutes from our last meeting, February 17th, as presented by our fiscal officer.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Lux.
Yes.
Under old business, we are adding a little library to our community park. A little library is a house. You might have seen them in other neighborhoods. And I let the students leave, but we would have asked them what kind of books they want to see, and we would have made sure they share this information with their friends. So we'll get this agenda item to their school counselor. Thank you, Kathleen. That takes us to connectivity update from Graham.
Yes. I have met with the folks from the collaborative to discuss connectivity, and I gave them a copy of our complete streets policy that we adopted in 2021, and they are working up a proposal. They expect to reach out to Lake Erie West, the county engineer, TARDA, Metro Parks, Toledo, and others to develop a comprehensive plan for the township, and they would like to meet with you folks as well. So I expect to have a proposal from them in the next few days. In the meantime, I do have a meeting scheduled at 2 o'clock on the 18th with folks from Lake Erie West and the health department to review the current status of the area-wide project that Lake Erie West is working on. So things are moving forward.
Questions, comments? Our cybersecurity is critical. We have a deadline to meet for the state. Where does that stand? Harold?
Yes. I did have a meeting on February 18th, a Zoom meeting with John Crisp and Brandon Elliott of Falcon Forge AI to discuss compliance with HB 96. Falcon Forge consulted in the development of HB 96, and they're already working with Triotech, who is our IT partner provider. They have the resources to provide all of the analysis of our hardware, software, and our IT provider that's required, and they also have the resources to provide all the training that is required, and they will be able to meet the compliance timeline. So I'm asking approval to of their February 24th training agreement that they provided. In addition, all of the training is reimbursable through Ohio Tech Cred. That's a program that reimburses employers up to $2,000 per credential for training current or prospective employees in technology-focused fields. The current funding cycle for that is closed, but a new cycle will open in July, and we will be able to submit our application for reimbursement then. And by then, we should be done with all of our training. So I'm just asking for approval of their agreement this evening.
I would accept a motion to approve the February 24th, 2026 training agreement from Falcon Forge AI.
So moved.
Thank you. I'll second it.
Seconded by Lang. On motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Laux.
Yes.
Do you also need us to do the...
Yes. Along with that, one of the advanced security features that we do not currently utilize, Triotech is working with Falcon Forge, and they've identified some enhancements that they have to put in place, and John Marshall has provided a quote, and the current estimate is $268.50 per month for CASIA 365 and Duo multi-factor login, and it's based on the number of users, and we need to do some cleanup.
But I'm confused. Do we really have 45 users?
With the fire department, yeah.
They all have their own login, and
yeah,
just it's not an email address, so they.
Yeah, it's yes.
And I should ask in the last one, Falcon, whatever the name of the company was, is who you brought from OTA?
No,
it's a different company.
I just grabbed like three pamphlets from OTA.
So we have a proposal from Triotech.
Is this going to be reimbursed by the $3,000?
No.
This part isn't the reimbursement part.
Just the training.
Just the training.
So this will replace the Microsoft Duo authentication we're currently using?
Are we currently using that? I don't have dual authentication on anything.
Yeah,
not yet.
I had to. I don't do it every time. Every time is Mercy Health. This isn't every time.
Yeah, I'm doing it up a few times.
Yeah.
So not even on my phone that I have to do it every time. So we do need some coordination here, Chuck. I don't know if this is the right way to go. I have no idea. Discussion? This is the way the administrator and Triotech, the company we've used forever, is saying we can meet our needs. Is it the least expensive? Does it involve Microsoft Authenticator? I don't think Harold has those answers.
When is the, for the HB, the, I know we're in compliance, but I mean that the certification for compliance.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, is it?
It's July 1st, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have a little bit of time, but not a whole lot of time.
I'm not questioning the cost. I didn't realize every firefighter had their own login.
They do.
No.
And like I said, John said we need to clean up because there are some old users on there that we need to get off. But this is just his estimate at this time would be $268.50. It's the CASIA 365 is $3.50 per user per month, and Duo is $3 per user per month. And once he cleans up all the old accounts, we'll know exactly what the monthly cost will be.
We use Duo at the bank, so I'm familiar with that one, yeah.
And again, these are, I don't know that these specifics.
This is getting done, and we can do our research in the coming year.
CASIA and Duo are required, but the service that they provide is going to be part of the requirement for cybersecurity.
I move to approve the February 24th, 2026 quote from Triotech to provide CASIA 365 user for $350 per month. Per user and Duo for $3 per user per month to comply with HB 96 requirements. Second.
Seconded by Lokes on the motion. Lokes?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
I screwed up all. We're full four years. That's what you name every time.
I think you do great. Okay, that takes care of all our old business. Looking at next week's agenda, next meeting's agenda, that won't help us. So we move to new business, and we start with our resolution related to appropriations. So that takes us to our fiscal officer.
Yeah, so appropriations this year, I'll just kind of go over at a high level. The normal operating ones, you know, got the normal, you know, small percentage increase, just, you know, inflation and so on and so forth. We do have more capital items this year than in other years, so I'm going to point out just some of the capital items that that we're doing. We have a road project like always, and but some things that we have decided, you know, we need are in the roads department, a new large mower, a Toro mower for $175,000. This is a big fairway type mower that will cut down. Doug and I did an analysis on how much time it takes to do the tractor with the behind and the hours and the transportation compared to having this, and make sure there's a payback on it, the safety factor. Also a new just crew cab pickup truck down there for $70,000. A more efficient grasshopper mop mower that will help the cemetery, just a smaller deck on it so it's easier to mow the cemetery. Again, there'll be an hour savings on that type of thing. A new skid steer, just we do not have one in our fleet right now, and it's a piece of equipment that's needed. So that's just kind of some of the equipment down there. We do have just pure guest numbers. As we said, we are exploring the annexation building, the old church, to remodel that. We put $750,000 into that. I don't know if we'll get to that project this year. I mean, it's part of what they're going to look at after they get the fire station design. But if they did get to it, we'd have to have it in there. I mean, if we have to put a parking lot in, you're probably looking at $250,000 just in parking lot. So it's not all building, but if we want to use that building, you know, we have to do that. We do have in our budget $2 million in acquisition of potential land that is not identified at this point in time, but that is in our budget for the year. From a park standpoint, we have $115,000 in playground equipment budgeted, which is a larger number than we would normally do. We just are expanding our park system down there. We do have in the cemetery, we want some columbariums, and we have budgeted for two columbariums and the complete install and all that for $120,000. So those are some items that, you know, are things that we haven't done in the past that are on there. We did budget a new ambulance. We have two in service with over 100,000 miles for $350,000. And again, we have a meeting coming up, I think this Friday, on the design of the fire renovation. So we do not have a cost down there. So I had to, you know, throw a number out there. I really do not know what that number is going to be. You know, they haven't dug into the walls and all of that sort of stuff. But I put a $2 million number on a fire station renovation. And that would be all the new equipment. We need a new exhaust. Like, that's
The heat for this room, the air conditioning, all of that.
Right. That's a whole new HVAC system for the whole building.
Right.
So some of those are guesses, but that's kind of the big ticket items, you know, that we have. Other than that, you know, salaries are what our salaries are. I did budget to have a couple extra employees potentially hired this year. I did that last year too, and it didn't happen, but, you know, trying to potentially plan for the future to have some additional headcount in the administrative side.
I think we might have to touch on the land that you mentioned. We bought that building down on Monclova Road. That's like one of the first purchases we've made.
Yep.
And then we bought this house on Monclova Road. There's a big stretch of land between the house and the final piece of property that we own.
Yeah.
And in our land use plan, that land is retail. That's what I want to call it, retail. Like
your mixed use, yeah.
Mixed use, yes. There, that's the coffee shop on the bottom and maybe housing on top or something like that. And we want to have control over what happens there, so I think that's one reason you put that money away.
Not $2 million for that slot of land.
Yeah.
Just
No. But and then the other reason is all the budgeting issues that have come up related to the state and how they're controlling or may control our funding.
Correct.
So no land in particular, but it's so far been a good investment.
In case land becomes available that makes sense strategically for us. And
just because it's appropriate doesn't mean we're not forced to spend it.
Correct.
All right.
So, but our total, due to having some larger than normal expenditures, our total appropriations for the year are $19,027,384.76. And usually I don't have cents, but I was just doing calculations. I didn't put the rounding function on it.
Somebody want to make a motion for that resolution?
And I'm open to questions, too.
No, I think just updating our fleet on, I know I talked to Doug about the down at conference about the need for a skid steer, how, when storms, knock over a tree in the middle of the night on the road, just instead of, cutting it up, it takes time, and let's just get it out of the way in a hurry, and things like that, and just, things wear out.
Yep.
Sure.
Any question on
that? No more questions.
Move to approve resolution number 030226-01, Township Annual Appropriations in the amount of $19,027,384.76.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lopes?
Yes.
Great. The other big issue on the agenda, and I think we'll see it in old business regularly, is the initiative that may make it to the ballot in November regarding townships and property tax. So, Harold, I was hoping you could update the residents with what the Ohio Township Association is accomplishing.
Sure. Public Opinion Strategies recently conducted an Ohio statewide poll of registered voters on behalf of the Ohio Library Council and the Ohio Township Association. just for a little background, across Ohio, 1,308 townships deliver core public safety and infrastructure services for roughly 4 million residents. That's more than one-third of the state's population. This accounts for more than $413 billion in economic activity and 1.8 million jobs across the state. Townships provide the services residents rely on most, from fire, EMS, and police protection to maintaining more than 41,000 miles of roads. That's more than the Ohio Department of Transportation. They also provide parks, zoning, and senior services that help keep communities safe, stable, and livable. While Ohioans may understand their local governance, many have no idea how townships are funded, with fewer than 50% understanding that local government is primarily funded through property taxes. 64% in this survey that Public Opinion Strategies did, 64% of township voters responded that townships provide many of the most basic services people rely on. Township voters put fire, ambulance, roads, bridges, and police protection at the top of the list. And by a 48-point margin, township voters say they are satisfied with the quality and value of the services provided by their local government for the taxes they pay. 76% of township voters say they are satisfied with their community as a place to live. That's the highest satisfaction level among residents in townships, cities, villages, and other local governments statewide. 85% are satisfied with fire and ambulance services, and 74% are satisfied with parks and recreation.
So are they going to vote against this levy? What's the number?
Ohioans value the services their townships provide every day, and they want decisions about these services to stay close to home. 79% of township residents support keeping funding authority and decisions about township services local. Local voters should be responsible for deciding how to allocate township services. About two-thirds of the revenue supporting essential township services comes from locally approved property taxes. This funding keeps decisions local, ensures services reflect community priorities, and make township government directly accountable to residents. Without this funding, services would be disrupted immediately, and residents would feel the impact right away.
Thank you. We've added a flyer to our website that states some of those facts in bold print, right? And you can share it. And again, I think we have to keep this on the forefront, especially if we learn that it is going to be on the ballot, and we'll know that July 1st. Comments? Yeah. That takes us to reports. Gavin.
And my report was just the approval of my bills and appropriations.
I don't think we've done the bills yet, have we?
Yeah.
Usually that's. I'm still getting used to the new format.
Yeah, I agree.
It should be the first thing we
can
do.
I say 480,000? I don't know if I want to make the. Yeah. I don't know if I think I have that little problem still, so I don't want to try it. Someone want to pay the bills?
Okay, let me get to that page here. I'll make a motion to pay the current bills as submitted by our fiscal officer, totaling $480,337.39.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion, Lux.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
And just a note in there, following up on Harold's comment, so one of the bills that we paid tonight was $215,000, which is for our contribution for the Lucas County Sheriff, which was a property tax levy that the voters here in Monclova have passed, I don't know, going back about 14, 15 years ago, and it's been a couple of times renewed. That is potentially one of the impacts that this elimination of property taxes, the funding for our fire department, which there's a special levy on, the funding for the sheriff, which is a special levy, and then about 55% of our general funding, which is funded by property tax, which you see that on your bill if you go to your area. So, though that are things that are potentially impacted by this proposal that looks like it's going to make it on the ballot by this November. We don't know for sure, as Barbara said, until July, but those, if that tax is eliminated, we got to figure out, okay, how do we get, when you call 911, that they're there and I think about 8 minutes or less time. What's our average response time?
Six.
And the sheriff is making patrols. We have 24/7 coverage by the sheriff. So, how do we pay for that if property tax goes away? So, in the meantime, the Ohio Township Association we're working with, and a lot of the other public agencies such as the library, the Metro Parks, 911 Children's Services, those are all funded via property tax. Of educating the public is just saying, hey, property taxes have spiked because of inflation over the last 4 years and with the rise of property values, but how do we pay for these services if property tax goes away? Ohio right now has the second lowest income tax of states that have income tax in the country. So, do we want to raise income tax? I mean, I think nobody wants to pay more taxes, but there's a lot of challenges and a lot of education and information that's going to be forthcoming over the next couple of months, and you'll hear that continually from us from now until November,
or hopefully it all ends July 1st. Correspondence, Gavin.
All right, we received correspondence.
I wanted to discuss this.
From Angie Robinson, with comments regarding the sledding hill and some issues that she had going over to the sledding hill, and
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you want me to read the letter or just...
I think we can just discuss the points. Yeah. Harold's here. He's had the letter for 4 weeks now, I think. I responded to her that we would discuss it at a meeting. Point three is that she's worried about injuries that might happen on the hill, and that is why we have the equipment we purchased.
Correct.
So we have a way, if they dial 911 from the hill, to get to them without a problem. So number three really isn't an issue, but the first two you might address, right? Like, why wasn't it plowed? Is that just the last thing that gets plowed? Is, and I don't remember the snow event.
It did get, it's basically, yes. Parking lots like that are the lowest priority. We need to get out there and get the roads cleared, and particularly intersections, so you don't have people sliding through a stop sign and hitting somebody. So that's Doug's number one priority when we have to go out and plow. Then parking lots come after that. And that parking lot was, in fact, plowed. I don't remember exactly the time, but what's... Kathleen has some information.
I just want to make a comment. That day, I actually had to be driven to work by a friend who has a snowplow, and that was it just before 8 a.m. So it was still snowing in the morning. So I'm imagining
at 10:15. So Doug's plowing the roads.
Yes.
We're not going to be plowing a parking lot. So when you respond, I don't think you've responded to her yet, but when you respond to her, you can say this was discussed and that we do have safety equipment and that that's the last place to be plowed. And then I don't think there's anything we can do about the slope of the hill, correct?
I think the county worked with the Metro Parks and plagiarized the design at the one at Sika Park, so it's the same.
Exactly.
So you can add that as well.
Exactly. And I don't know. I saw the video that they sent us where the kids were sitting on their sleds and couldn't get them to move.
I think just a lot of people need to use the hill to make that work.
I don't know if it was because the snow was too deep and they were sort of sinking in. I really don't know. I don't know if they need to wax the bottom of their sled.
Okay.
But so that I'm not sure about. But it does, in fact, mirror the sledding.
So please respond with that as well, okay?
Has anyone ever watched someone go down the hill? Like, I've never went over there, you know, and watched a kid actually.
It takes a lot of people to make a hill good, right? We used to do it on the turnpike, you know, an overpass to the turnpike. We'd go down those hills in the old days. And you got to take some.
You got to smooth it up, pass it over.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're a little kid on fresh snow, and I think that was a big snow, it would be harder to get down. I would just like to see on a different day.
Right.
Yeah, no. Is it really usable or not? But, you know, or does it not get enough use that it never gets
it never gets
enough.
Packed down enough?
Doug tells me they see people over there using it.
Well, so let's add that to our website. Let's film that and add it to Facebook someday. Someday next year when it snows. It's not going to snow anymore this year. Okay, so great. Now we've discussed this. You can answer appropriately. Any other correspondence?
We received correspondence from the Waterside Owners Association just asking us to keep them informed of any updates on data centers.
And Eric will do that in his monthly report.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Gavin. Is there anything you have for us, Administrator Graham?
All the rest of my memo is information. I'd be happy to
thank you, Chief.
Discuss anything that you need me to discuss. We have our annual meeting with the county engineer coming up on Thursday, and I've provided you with information on a couple issues specifically that we want to talk about.
With that, I also I sent Mike Panuski an email. Brendan Selhorst, the Economic Development Director from the City of Toledo, reached out to me, wanted to know if the township would be interested in the retention pond that the city...
Doesn't he bring this up annually?
Yes. But what I told Brandon, I said if the county engineer would sign off on the drainage, maybe the city could apply for a grant to redo the drainage so the pond actually holds water, and then we can have a conversation about maybe converting it into a community park.
A community park, and we just got a report from TARDA that I gave to Harold to do a little bit of research on. TARDA has funding for their, one of the communities made their little TARDA station, you know, pullover. Mm-hmm. They put tables with umbrellas and a drinking fountain so that it was a gathering place, and they need a TARDA pullover on that, at that location, so it might work out perfectly. So now you have a whole project that could be put together.
But yeah, the county first would have to sign up on
the
drainage.
Well, the county,
yet,
right.
And then,
yeah.
Except there's grant money maybe to re-engineer the pond.
Yeah, there's TARDA money and grant money and shovel ready. Great. Anything else for Harold? Anything for you, from you, Harold?
No.
That takes us to the public comments portion of the meeting. I don't know if everybody got a chance to sign this, so if there's somebody who wants to sign it, please come up and sign it. But with that, we can get started. And I also wanted to say that the executive session schedule has changed a little bit. We have a trustee that's going to be out of town, so we're extending would be the right word, the executive session schedule to the second meeting in April to handle all the employee reviews and raises. So we're going to keep having those executive sessions all related to employee personnel issues. All right, with that, Jeanette.
Jeanette Gammon, 5066 Lake Breeze Lane, over in Waterside. I want to say that the moratorium passed, and that's a good thing. However, after the comments that were made, especially ones referring to, it's probably going to be out of our hands with the federal and the state governments and things like that. It appears to me that the trustees are still trying to find uses for the land that perhaps the constituents don't want. I felt strongly that way after that meeting. I just want to make it clear, and I'm not just speaking for myself, I know these people real well. We still do not want no size of any data center or advanced manufacturing facility that's going to be noisy, or hot and cold storage used for a data center. And it looks like our fight's still on. We're still gonna have to fight here, folks. And we'll still be fighting to protect our communities within the township to keep those types of facilities away from our homes, from damaging our property, damaging our health. I wanna give you a quote from Florence Nightingale back in 1859. Unnecessary noise is the most cruel absence of care which can be inflicted upon the sick and the well. She observed how the noise affected soldiers and how it killed people off. Dr. Omar Haddad from Johannes Gutenberg University quotes, "Constant noise steals years off of people's lives." Okay, so that's why we're taking this seriously. We are going to fight. And we're going to have to continue doing it. And what we'd like to know from the three of you, will you stand with us and stand up for us? We have not heard that out of you. We want to hear you guys say, you know what? You are our constituents. We care about you. Irregardless of what you personally think or feel, it all should go to what's best for your constituents. You know, we have lives. You know, do you want to be responsible for putting something in that could harm people? Do you want that to be what you go to your grave with? I would think not. We're asking you to stand up, and if you have to, fight the the federal government. You know, fight the state government because God knows we're going to. That's it. I want you to do that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm super sorry. Oh, it's Diane. Sorry. I could not read that handwriting. I'm sorry.
Oh, you've read it enough.
I know. I got the last name, and that's how I figured it out.
I have a couple questions that I would like an answer to from last meeting. I had asked about a citizens group, and everybody said, yeah, you know, there's one going, there's a trustee on it. And then somebody told me that they had been talking to the one of trustees and said, that's not a sanctioned committee. I've noticed all the townships and towns around us are actually, even over in Oregon, they're starting citizens advisory board. Because if you just have, say, oh, well, yeah, these people are just meeting, we don't have any set goals for that committee. There aren't any meeting minutes. There aren't any published reports for the trustees. We need an actual sanction by you three committee, or you set a chairman of that committee to make sure that everybody's voice is heard. I've heard that rumor had, because I haven't been there, that one of the people on that committee is just sort of like thrown weight around and stuff. I mean, we need some organization to it because, I mean, all the other people are doing it and it seems like a responsible thing to do. And this way we can get some good concrete information that you guys will actually look at. I mean, if it comes back to you and you haven't been seeing reports and stuff, it's like, what is this? So, I mean, we need to set some goals and some parameters for a fully sanctioned committee. Okay, that's one thing. And then some of us came to the zoning meeting the other day. Eric remembers. Yeah. All they did was decide who was going to be in charge of what. But I did notice something, because the residents have been after you saying that we really do need video, not just audio of these meetings. And I noticed when I came in that the lovely secretary over there, I forgot your name.
Kathleen.
Kathleen had up on the board from that camera there a picture facing this way. I used to do video conferencing for Owens, Illinois, you know, the Herald. And it would be very easy to be able to do video conference these and set them up, because
we're live streamed.
You are live streamed with video? When did that start?
Long time ago.
Okay, can it be recorded? Because if we're here, we can't remember everything. We're old people. Come on.
Thank you.
I will say there is money in the budget to redo the audio and video of this room this year.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest concern would be if we're going to potentially move our administrative offices down there,
mm-hmm.
to go spend a bunch of money here this year that isn't going to be really transferable down to the other building. So it's just a trying to decide, do you take a short term, because we do have video of it right now. If you're on YouTube, like the employees, I guarantee you, like the road guys, the fire department, they're watching us right now. So it is available right now. Is it all archived and all that? That's not a requirement, and we are growing as a township in what we do. We do more than probably 90% of townships as far as accessibility and all that, but we're trying to decide, still being good stewards of our dollars, how much do we spend in this room here if we're going to be down there in a year or a year and a half, you know, because that technology gets made specifically for a room. You go somewhere else, and so those are the things.
Yeah, but most of it is movable and usable, because I moved it from one spot to another. But just, you know, keep that in mind, because like right now, at this, you know, everybody seems to have all their meetings on the same day. That makes it tough to look around and see what everybody's doing. So just bring it up, because I had thought that it wasn't being done, because, you know, because you know, you said you were doing just audio. So that was my mistake there. But keep it in mind. The final thing is a resident brought up to me something that they noticed, and they did Google it, not using AI, using regular Google, and said that inside of all government buildings, the flags, the American flag is supposed to have fringe on it. Did you guys know that?
Well, thank you again. I would like to respond, and I'm sure my other trustees want to respond, so thank you for stepping up. I, speaking directly to Jeanette, have heard this board say, we are here to protect Monclova Township almost every meeting, so that doesn't change. That's why we've been elected. That's what we've done in my case for 20 years. That's why this township in part looks the way it does, and why the zoning resolution is updated, and why the land use plan is current, and why we're as transparent as we possibly can be. So fighting the state and fighting the federal government, when I said, the trustees didn't say it, I said it, if I read the political tea leaves correctly, and I will stand by that statement, when I read those tea leaves, it's out of my hands, and I'm not going to get the chance to make a difference besides doing this. Now, does that mean I'm not going to serve on the OTA board as a board of director and talk to my state legislature and tell them how important local zoning is? It doesn't mean that. But I think that this is a way bigger fight than what I'm able to do.
To join us fighting it.
That comes back, well, I'll let you go. No. That comes back to this citizen committee. People did say in the audience, they stood up and said, I want to start a committee. And I said to that person when we spoke later, active trustee on any board becomes difficult because you have to speak and you don't represent the other two. I could say whatever I want to say and they might disagree with me. The board doesn't act on one person. We have somebody at the Historical Foundation that we even have that conflict with, right? They want something to happen at the Historical Foundation because they're sitting there all the time, but it doesn't translate to the entire board or protecting the entire township. So I suggested to that group that they involve a past trustee who would know very well what it felt like to sit up here and understand our zoning and all the hoops we jump through. So they did involve that trustee. We have a sanctioned committee. It's called our zoning board. And we put those people on the zoning board. Eric is working with them. We know that data centers, if we get the chance, we want to be prepared for them. That work is going to continue, and Eric is going to keep the zoning board and the Board of Zoning Appeals up to date on what he learns and how we can make improvements. We're going to use the resources we have, like the Lucas County Plan Commission, or the state, the OTA knows this is becoming an issue. What will they come up with? We are working on this issue during this 12-month moratorium. I think I addressed everything I wanted to say. Please.
No, and just, and Jeanette, in your comments, so the property in question there on Stitt Road is currently zoned agricultural. So when you mention any type of advanced manufacturing, that would involve a zoning change, correct, Eric?
Correct, yes.
So, so that would be a 6-month process for that to come in, the Planning Commission, Zoning Commission, 3 public hearings. So anything, if a request for any type of advanced manufacturing could come in for that, it would require a zoning change and an opportunity at 3 different levels for public comments to be heard. So,
but you can do that during this 12-month moratorium?
If somebody wanted to buy the property and put up a factory there, that's nothing to do with the data center. But I mean, a pig farm could go in there tomorrow, and there's not one thing that we could do to stop it. A hydroponic greenhouse could go there tomorrow, and it falls under the zone of agricultural. I mean, so agricultural zoning is pretty broad.
And we don't own the land.
Yeah, five acre lots could go in there for housing.
I know that.
So there's.
I know that, Ms. Lane.
That we don't own the land.
I'm not an idiot or sycophant.
I don't think you are.
Okay, no. Thank you. I just want to say, you said it's going to be out of your hands. And folks, fight for us. I've never heard you say you will do that. Oh, it's out. Oh, it's in the zoning board's hands. It's in the commissioner's hands. It's in the state's hands. What do we do? Why do we even have you? Do we need you? Just get rid of you.
Yeah.
Why do we have you?
I think the state would
fight
like to do that.
For us.
Yeah.
It's so annoying to live here in this township and not know what's going to come down the pipeline for us.
And we don't know what's going to come down the pipeline.
No, but fight for us. Tell this other, tell the zoning board that you don't, or your constituents are against this.
Yeah. And we've taken steps. We've put the moratorium in place. Okay. We've given directive to our zoning commission to come up with definitions of the different types of data centers, to research what type of zoning from a micro to the mega type.
We don't want them.
You want zero. So somebody, if Anderson wants to put up a 2,500 square foot data center for them in their parking lot, you're telling them no.
Yeah. We don't want a data center that's going to affect our neighborhood.
I'm just asking, so if you're saying no data center, I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
If Anderson's wants to put up a 2,500 square foot, about the size of your house, I'm guessing, I don't know how big your house is, data center in their parking lot for their self-serving, for themselves alone, or Dana, we're going to say no.
Well, if it's on that property off of Black Road.
I'm just, you're saying no data centers, period. That's
right,
what
we
I'm
protect
hearing.
The entire property.
You're telling me no data centers, absolute.
Yeah, the zoning isn't just for Black Road.
Well, so I understand that.
So that's what we're asking. That's what we're directing our zoning commission, our citizens-based zoning commission, to come up with definitions for these five different types of data centers, not just the behemoths down in Middleton Township. There's data centers that fit in storage containers.
Can you not say we're not considering that for the Black Road property because it's too close to people's homes?
No.
I think we've said that.
Why? Why can you not say that? Why can you not opt out of that? Saying that Black Road property.
I can't
look
this kind
of thing. I can't dictate the market. I don't think it's appropriate there, myself.
Okay.
But, like I said, a pig farm could go there tomorrow and perfectly legal, 100%.
I think I'd rather have a pig farm and the smell than a data center. No, I've smelled them.
I'm just saying, agricultural zoning is pretty broad. And that's so the advanced manufacturing, which you know, the noise and everything, that cannot go in there at all. We'd have to go through a 6-month process, 3 multiple hearings, and I don't see that approving that. You know, first of all, there's no sewage on that line either. There's no sewage lines in that property either. So, there's a lot of things in that property that people don't know. There are gas lines, but there's no sewer lines. You know, that was when we were working with the current owners trying to develop it, saying, hey, we'll help you put in a sewer line in exchange for an anti-annexation, and at that time he was talking about putting housing in there, as they were on the east side and on the Maumee portion of that. So,
I get that. It's
Dr.
just
sir, anything you want.
I mean, as far as fighting for you, we fight for you every day.
We've never heard it put that way. We're fighting for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes people need to know.
I mean, the thing with the property tax, honestly, has got the bejesus scared out of
it. And I'm not for that, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, I'm all in favor of lower taxes, but if the property tax goes away, how do I tell Matt? Hey, Matt, you got to lay half your crews off, and our maintenance guys, and then when you people, hey, I call 911, nobody's there. That's because we only got half the crews here.
If that goes away, sales taxes and income taxes are going to go up. You can't take one away with that. And I'm not for that, by the way.
Yeah. Debbie.
This board fights for all of our residents every day, trying to, like I said, and I just don't know how to explain it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your responses. I really do.
So. I agree with Chuck. We are fighting for you. We put the moratorium in place because that's not just what you wanted, what we thought was right. And we're all residents here, too. We're not going to do anything to harm the township. We're not going to try to do anything to harm the township. We'll do our best to protect and fight. Like she said, if it goes to state and federal level, we can oppose it. Can we stop it? I can't say that. It's
I know that in
David and Goliath situation, then.
You are 3 people in a township. We're a 1,000-person community that would have to live with whatever goes over there. And, it's just... Huh, what? Yeah, an elderly community. It's just scary to think about. So, but I do appreciate you guys all responding.
No, and it's, you know, it's, I take it personal, Jeanette, because if you read the online comments, you know, we've all been paid off and bought off. And a number of you people in here, I've read your online comments, have said that. You know, well, I still haven't got any checks. I haven't showed up any bags of cash. I haven't showed up in my mailbox.
That's okay.
No, it's frustrating because you wonder why people don't run for political office.
I'll
just kind of wrap up our correspondence part here. Is most people, I mean, there's a couple of people that are born and raised in Monclova, but most people moved here like myself. We moved here because it was a great community.
Yeah.
And I always say there were some things put in place in Monclova before I moved here that really have helped us budgetarily, zoning-wise, you know, what the planning of it is. And until whatever it was, like in November when people came, people didn't see all the work that was done beforehand that protected our township on how, what our land use plan is and everything, and got criticized over like how we were going to try and protect specifically Black Road if a data center was going to come in and the planning that went into that. So when we say we're not fighting for them, we plan every day and have put things in place that have made Monclova, I mean, in my opinion, the best place to live in Northwest Ohio in our little area, and that's why you guys all moved here and why we're a thriving community. And the trustees, the entire time I've been here, have always made great decisions on what should go where and how we allow things to go in and what planning they've put out. Just because it isn't understood and everyone says more transparency, well, everything's available to read. I mean, our zoning code is out there. Everything can be read that we have. I mean, just like the mistake of not knowing that we don't have, you know, video, when we have video. We have a lot of things that you don't know about. And just because you don't know about it doesn't mean things aren't happening. And just because another community says, this is how we're going to do it, well, if that community is subpar to us, I don't think I want to follow what they're doing. I mean, we have qualified people that turn in their resumes, and that's why they're on our zoning board, and that's why they're on our board of zoning appeals, because they went through a process and they understand it, and people have the right to give them their opinion and all that sort of stuff. But when we empower people that are qualified to do that job, and if you look around what Monclova is, I think we should trust the process. Even though we're not up here, you know, steam coming out of our ears and making a scene about it, but Monclova, through this whole thing of when and how we waited to make sure we weren't getting annexed, to put a moratorium in place too early, and then we would have lost Black Road altogether, positively, if we would have done that prematurely. So it's sometimes hard to see the big picture, but I would say the way that this was driven by the board could not have been driven any different, especially with all the outside noise and pressure to prematurely do things. So I just want to make sure people understand that.
With all due respect, had you the first week of November, when we all showed up, said that last spring you were in conversations about data centers on that property in question and been transparent at that point, we could have avoided these many months of tension.
We were at your meeting, Risa, and Gavin stood up. He probably still has the notes on his phone, and he said all of that. It was a timeline of everything he was involved with, including the March meetings.
You never disclosed that you were in conversations about a data center that would be adjacent to Waterside alone.
You did.
There were never any comments on that, and we have that on record. Had that been transparent then, as you claim you have been, we would not have been going through this for months.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We see that. We see that differently. Please pull your note. Thank you. So now we have to go to executive session. Sorry, we're.
I'll make a motion to go to executive session for discussion of employment of a public employee.
Seconded
by Loups. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Loups.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
We don't expect to come back and do any business. I don't know that we will or won't. You're welcome to stay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We ready, lady? It's 7:15 and we're returning from executive session. We explored an employment agreement, and I would like to present that we have a contract for a director of...
Back to general section.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, make a motion to come back.
Didn't I do that? No.
Yeah.
Sorry. I need to make a motion to return from executive session to general session. I'm sorry, Gavin.
No problem. Seconded by Louts. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Louts?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
So in executive session, we discussed an employment agreement for a director of safety services, zoning, and special projects. And I would like to consider us executing a contract for that position. You all good?
So moved.
Seconded by Louts. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Louts?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. All right.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Louts?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Thank you all.